It's more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. It's an intriguing picture that graces the cover of the February issue of Milwaukee Magazine. It's actually pictures of two women, torn out to compose one face. The women themselves each have written personal essays in the issue's special report on mental health challenges in Milwaukee.
But the essays by sports journalist Trenny Kuznarek and college student Molly McKenzie are only two facets of a wide-ranging series of articles. Claire Hannon edited the features for the magazine, and she's here to share the story. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Mitch.
What were you up against in pulling this whole package of stories together?
When we first started planning this story, I mean, everyone contributed tens of ideas. We had a huge stockpile of ideas, easily over 100, that spanned everything. And they were stories that some of the editors were personally interested in, or had maybe heard about going on in a different city and wanted to dig into it in Milwaukee, or knew someone experiencing something rare. So we just had endless ideas, and the biggest challenge by far was narrowing that list down to something that was not completely, you know, kind of scatterbrained, but was interesting and would be something that someone could pull up and say, you know, I never knew that.
Well, and one of the key parts of this series of articles is actually a follow-up to a piece that ran a couple of years ago.
Yeah. We knew from the very outset that personal stories really had to be a driving part of the package. And probably the second biggest challenge was finding people willing to talk about it at length, pen to paper, and also be pretty honest and open about some tough experiences. But immediately we knew of one woman, Trenny, because our managing editor, Howie, had profiled her for our website back in 2012. And in that profile, Howie was just doing kind of a profile on an interesting person in sports journalism in Milwaukee. And during the reporting of that, Trenny told him, you know, I want to open up about my depression and anxiety. And that really changed Howie's story. So fast forward a couple years, Howie's story on Trenny had become really one of our most read stories on our entire website. And every time she talked about her depression, people went back and read that story. So we knew that it had legs and could be maybe refreshed in a way, but from a totally different angle of this is just her voice on what has happened since. We really wanted to know what had happened since.
And that's a big question, because one of the real issues that a number of people write about is the stigma and what happens when somebody, you know, comes out and says, you know, I'm dealing with this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's first of all, so why it's so hard to come out and say that. And secondly, when you do say it, what happens next? And it turned out that she actually had a fairly positive experience.
It kind of illustrated, as did some of the other stories, that the stigma that everyone talks about and a lot of public health officials think is one of the largest barriers to significant progress, that stigma manifests in different ways kind of as you go through life. When you're a kid, you know, you are dealing with how kids understand very serious illnesses. And later into adulthood, as Trenny talks about, you're dealing with, well, what's going to happen with my health insurance when I am very loud about this? So it's stigma in all sorts of different ways. And as Dan Simmons talks about in his article about race and mental illness, the stigma issue can be different within communities, too.
As can access to care.
Yeah, which is a really disappointing thing to learn. But Trenny does talk about how she received really positive support, and all sorts of her peers, athletes, other journalists reach out to her saying, you know, I just needed someone to be out about it because I've gone through something similar, and I'm so glad now we can talk about this.
At the same time, you had another person write a very personal essay who writes that things were not always so positive for her.
No, Molly has had a few co-occurring issues, including female ADHD, which it was news to me that that was in any way different than how it manifests in males typically.
Right. You imagine male ADHD and you think about a 9 or 10 year old boy who just can't control himself at school.
Right. Can't focus or anything. But Molly's symptoms were a little closer to severe anxiety, depression, and even suicidal thoughts sometimes. But she believed that a proper diagnosis really kind of put her on a path to somewhat of a recovery, and like a correct treatment plan has really helped her a lot. Despite all this, she still had her GP ask her, "Are you sure you're mentally stable?" after this doctor took a look at her prescribed medications. So it's despite being open and doing all the correct things to kind of treat yourself, the education thing is still another part of that stigma issue.
And the education thing seems to be a big component of this whole set of features. There are, you know, a number. There's a table that talks about the right things to say and do and the wrong things to say and do. There's a list of everything you want to know about personality disorders but are too afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. I gather one of the points of this was to give people who maybe don't have a lot of experience or are concerned about how to interact with someone dealing with mental health issues, some tools to work with.
Yeah, it's definitely sort of the primer approach. We laid out many different issues that I'm hoping at least become the start of talking points. And I don't know if we were talking about how hard it is for the Hispanic community or the African American community to get mental health care, but we should, because it's an issue, as we explain. But it also goes to kind of one of our larger goals as a magazine, of course, to provide service. And education, obviously, is a part of that in all journalism. But also, like, this chart on what to say and what not to say for someone who has bipolar mania or psychosis or anxiety, that's kind of straight-up guide. Here, let us do the legwork so that you can do something better or know more about something. And for me, that's the best part of the story, this chart. It's what I have torn out and has even made me rethink how I'm dealing with the people I know that are experiencing these things.
There's also a resource guide where presumably if you know someone who's dealing with something or you are yourself someone who is dealing with something, at least this is a way to start seeking help.
Yeah, until you're looking for it or until you're in a crisis, you're not constantly searching them just to have just in case. And we kind of found that they're out there. There are tons of them out there. And we wanted to pull some of them so that they're in an easy-to-find place.
I feel like the World War II issue used the term profiles in Courage, but I feel like as I read this, you could just as easily have used the term profiles in Courage to talk about the people who have been dealing with some really hard stuff and are willing to talk about it in such a public forum.
Yeah, we used a really good headline pretty early, I think. We definitely could. It definitely could be said of the people in this story.
Well, Claire Hannon, nice job. Thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Mitch.
Claire Hannon is associate editor at Milwaukee Magazine. The magazine's special report on mental health issues in Milwaukee is the cover story in the February edition.